Let us now continue to hear the Word of God with our New Testament lesson today, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hands in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us now pray. Gracious Lord, we ask that your Spirit descend down upon us this morning. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and the message you communicate to each and every one of us. Amen. Now, no matter who you are or what you've done in your life, stepping out of your comfort zone and bravely facing a new challenge is always a difficult decision to make. Inside your comfort zone, you're safe. You know what to expect. You know what's going to happen, and you know that you can handle it. But one step outwards, and it's a whole new world. It's unexplored territory. And now, one man who's made a life of venturing out into unexplored territory and continually redefining his comfort zone is Bill Stone. Bill is an engineer and a cave explorer. He descends through holes in the ground, with his only lifeline being a nylon rope, and finds himself in places deeper and darker than any human being has ever experienced. He and his team undertake month-long expeditions, exploring the very world beneath our feet. Now, in an interview in NPR, he discusses that the most difficult part of exploring these caves, it's not the unstable boulders, it's not the ease with which one can become lost, it's not the lack of light, the absolute darkness, but it's the debilitating psychological remoteness of the cave's depths. And he calls this state of mind the rapture of the deep. 3 days descending deeper and deeper into the heart of the earth, people begin to experience this mental isolation from their comfort zone above. In over 40 years of exploring these caves, Bill has seen countless people, including himself, frozen by this psychological distress. At these great depths, the metaphorical weight of the world weighs heavy upon one's mind. So much so that people freeze where they are, sit on the ground and wrap their arms around their knees and curl into a ball. This anxiety and fear of the unknown, what the future has for them, causes them to freeze, to stop from going into this unexplored world, this new territory. Now, does this sound a little bit familiar to any of you? A group of people sitting in a dark room, surrounded by an air of anxiousness. A room that's perfectly big enough to fit everyone in, but feels constrictive and small. A group afraid of the unexplored, unknown territory around them, sitting in this room for fear of stepping out of their comfort zone. A group doubting they'll be able to survive this ordeal, doubting that anyone will be with them to help. It's in this realm of anxiety and fear and doubt that we find our group of disciples today, gathered in a home after Jesus' crucifixion. It's evening, and they're sitting in a home with the doors shut and locked. The air in the house is palpable with fear. There are doubts they will survive this ordeal. There are doubts that God is even still with them. Huddled together, they speak in hushed tones, anxiously contemplating what to do now. The Son of God has been crucified, the one that they dropped everything and followed. He's been laid to rest in a tomb. So what now? Do they continue the ministry of Jesus Christ? Was Mary Magdalene telling them the truth when she said that she met him alive outside the tomb? With the doors closed and locked, this must have felt like the disciples' own tomb, one that they chose to be in for fear of the outside world. Without Jesus physically by their side, this was unexplored territory, and the disciples did not want to leave this small resemblance of a comfort zone that they still had remaining. Now, traditionally, we give Thomas the hardest time for doubting the resurrection and fearing the future after Jesus' death. But if we read this scripture from the Gospel of John again and really pay attention, really listen, we can hear that, in fact, all the disciples were guilty of this doubt and this fear. Immediately before our New Testament lesson today in the Gospel of John, we hear that Mary Magdalene has encountered the risen Christ. In John chapter 20, verses 18, it states that without hesitation, Mary went to the disciples with the news that I've seen the Lord. Yet where do we find our disciples in the scripture this morning? But hiding behind locked doors for fear of the world around them. And then, incredibly enough, Jesus himself appears to the disciples. Yet where do we find them again a week later when Thomas is present? But behind locked doors, fearing still. And now, it's not wrong to feel fear, but we cannot hide behind these locked doors forever, shutting out the world around us. The church, our community of faith here, they were all made to be present, living in this world, seeking to bring the kingdom of God here. The church is not isolated from the world around us, and neither are we. If this were the case, we would have no outreach. We would take no mission trips to places like New Orleans. We would not help our neighbors through projects such as Habitat for Humanity. If this were the case, we would gather here on Sunday mornings, lock the doors, and worship, fearing the possibilities of the outside world, wondering if God will be with us every time we take a step outside. Now, I believe we've all heard the expression that when a door is shut, God will open a window. We use this phrase to communicate that when something has failed, when something has not worked out, that God will present us with a new opportunity. But I think there's something more to this familiar phrase. The disciples may shut and lock the door to the house they are gathered in, refusing to continue the ministry of Jesus for fear of persecution. But God's going to open a window for them, because they are not meant to stay isolated. God does not want us to sit in our churches or our homes with doors locked and windows shut. God wants us to live in the world as faithful disciples of the body of Christ. Now, emboldening the disciples and all of us to step out into this world and open our doors is Christ's gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit that unites us all together as one body, as faithful disciples of a universal church. Just as God breathed life onto humanity in Genesis, Jesus breathed the gift of the Holy Spirit onto the disciples, giving them new life. And it was through the power of this Holy Spirit that the disciples were able to step outside of this house and into the unknown, unexplored territory of life without Jesus physically by their side. Through this power, they were able to begin proclaiming the good news of the resurrection. And we see a result of this from our scripture in the book of Acts, where we find a bold, united community. With great power, the apostles are giving their own testimony to the resurrection, and the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Individuals are no longer hiding behind locked doors, but are living together out in the world. And although they have not all personally encountered the risen Christ, in this group there are no doubts. For we can see this, they are selling off lands and homes and distributing their wealth among all of the community so that none have any needs. They firmly believe in the bond of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Christ, in the Gospel of John, Christ tells his disciples, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe." And this early faith community is exactly what Christ was referring to. They uphold the teachings of Jesus and place great belief in the resurrected Son of God. And this is exactly what we must do as well. Our community today is no different than the one we hear about in the book of Acts. Many of us have not, and most likely will not, encounter a face-to-face interaction with Jesus Christ like the disciples did. But this does not mean that our faith should be any less strong. Our faith should be no less strong than that of Mary Magdalene, who met Jesus outside of the tomb after he rose. It should be no less strong than the faith of the disciples whom Christ breathed the Holy Spirit upon. And it should be no less strong than the faith of Thomas, who witnessed and saw Jesus' wounds in his hands and his side. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet still come to believe. For many of us are here this morning because we believe in Christ, and we put faith in the power of this resurrection. But we do not believe in a Christ who simply walked this earth thousands of years ago and was resurrected through the power of God. We must keep in our hearts and our minds that we believe in a Christ who is still present with each of us here today. And this is through the divine action of the Holy Spirit that Christ's presence resides with us. Jesus gave the disciples the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it has been vibrant and active in our world ever since then. When we step out into the world and meet people where they are, Christ is present. When we share our gifts and our resources so that none have any need, Christ is present. And when we gather here on Sunday mornings and proclaim the good news of the Gospels, the Holy Spirit moves among us, and Christ is present. And we boldly proclaim this presence and communion of the Holy Spirit in our sacrament of baptism as well. We baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, welcoming this child, this adult, and these teenagers into this body of Christ in which we are of one heart and one soul. Through the Spirit, we confidently promise to share all that we have and to nurture these new members of our family, even though the future is unexplored territory and we're not sure what it's going to bring. Now, this body of Christ that we are all a part of has come a long ways since that small group of disciples were huddled in a dark room, doubting the resurrection and fearing the unexplored territory outside. Today, we know the miracle that Jesus rose from the grave. Today, we know the miracle that we possess the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it moves among us, connecting us as one heart and one soul. Today, we know the promise of the gospel, and we rejoice in that. But we are not done facing challenges and trials in this world. There will be times when we feel as the disciples did and harbor doubt and fear, seeking comfort behind locked doors. So I will leave you with one last thought from our friend Bill Stone. He says that true, real inspiration and growth only comes from adversity and challenge, from stepping away from what's comfortable and familiar and stepping out into the unknown. Friends, Christ has opened and unlocked our doors. So with boldness and courage, and with the Holy Spirit as our lifeline to one another, let us step out into the unknown. Amen.